Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
And this morning I want to share with you the role that the church has as the church. You know, everybody's function and everybody's part is different. We can't all do the same thing. You know, and it's so important that we embrace people's gifts, what God has placed on the inside of them. And this morning, we're going to take a look. We're going to go to a passage of scripture that is probably familiar to a lot of you, but I want to just show you a few things that maybe you didn't see before. On Friday night, I shared with the leaders, it was a heavy burden on my heart, what I believe my role is. And this morning, I'm going to share a little bit with you from that, very little. You need to be a leader to get the good stuff, you know. It's just how it works. Amen. I'm trying to motivate you now. Amen. Okay, so thank you for five of you that said amen. Okay.
Amen.
Okay, so we're gonna take a look at that. Then tonight, I'm going to be sharing with you what's supposed to happen here. What happens here? What makes us the house of God? And what makes you the house of God? So if you want to hear that, come this evening. It's going to be great. Amen. It doesn't count if you watch it online. I'm just saying. All right. So let's go to Ephesians 4, verse number 11. Ephesians 4, verse number 11. Before I start to read this, I want to just say this, that when we talk about the gifts in the body of Christ, there are different kinds of gifts. The gifts I'm about to share with you are not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are called Christ's gifts or the gifts of Jesus. That's what these are called that I'm about to share with you. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to everybody. They are for everybody, for the profit of all. That's why we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And everyone will at some time, if you're a believer and you believe in that stuff, which you should, you will operate with those gifts. God will give them to you to minister to people. The gifts I'm about to share with you are the gifts of Christ. Now let's take a look at this and what does this mean, and I'll break it down for you. Ephesians 4, verse number 11, and he himself, you see, that's Jesus now, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. I want to stop there because I want us to take a look. Now, when we look at that, there's a few things that happen in our mind. Immediately we think, okay, what's the most important thing in that passage of Scripture? Who's the most important one? Well, the most important thing is not the apostle, prophet, teacher, or any of that stuff. There's a word there that is mentioned, I think, four times. If a word is repeated four times, God's trying to say something to us. The word there is some. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. In other words, God did not appoint everybody to do this. This is the role or function of a gift of Christ that he gives to the body of Christ. He gives these gifts to some, and some have one of these gifts, a pastor. Myself, I'm a pastor. That's my gift, part of my gifting. So that's who I am. So this kind of gifting, it really actually describes who you are when you step into this. Like some people are doctors and lawyers and teachers. They have different, that's who they are. That's what they are. But I want to show you something because this is important. I want to explain to you why God did this. Why did Jesus give some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers? And it explains it to us in verse number 12. For the equipping of the saints. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So the reason why God gave some to be these different gifts is for the equipping of the saints. And how many of you here are saints? Okay, we're all saints to do the work of the ministry. Let's read it through and then I'll get into it. For the edifying of the body, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. What's so important is that we understand that the gifts, the fivefold gifts, if for lack of a better word, and really there should be sixfold because we see what the fivefold does and how they equip the sixthfold, which actually is the main part of the whole thing, which is the saints. And he equips the saints, these gifts equip the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, the prophet. Their primary function is to equip the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. Their primary function is not to come in and be an apostle, or let's just use a prophet as an example, to use his gift and be the great prophet. His primary function is to come into the church and teach you about the prophetic. Teach and equip you to become prophetic. The prophet will come in and teach you how to hear from God. The prophet will come and teach you how to prophesy. He will teach you. And this is absolutely all part of the church today. Christ gave gifts to some, not for 3 years, forever, until the end, until we come to the fullness of who Christ is. And let me tell you something, the church has not arrived. We are not there. We are not perfect by any means. Far from it. Can you say amen? So the gifts are given. The gifts are given. These teachers, apostles, prophets are given for the purpose to equip you. Yes, they are also given to edify, which you'll see if you read just a little bit further down in that scripture. They are given to edify as well. So they will use their gift to display it, but it's also just to show you how it works. But primarily, the function is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Amen. The problem with churches today is that we have said it's the pastor's role to do the work of the ministry. And that's wrong. It is not the pastor's job to do the work of the ministry. It's the saint's job to do the work of the ministry. So as a saint, I do the work of the ministry. As a pastor, I equip. I'm a saint too, so I will also do the work of the ministry. But my primary role in what God has called me to do is to equip the body of Christ, to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Is that okay? All right. So to suggest or to say that my role as pastor is to minister to you all the time, individually or in any capacity, I want to let you know this morning that that is wrong. I want to tell you that the problem with much of the church today is exactly that. That we expect pastors to do everything and they're not getting to what they're supposed to do. And that's why 80% of churches do not grow past 200 in the United States. Because the pastor cannot do what he's called to do. He's busy answering phone calls, answering emails, answering text messages, going to the hospital, answering everything on all the poor guy can't do it. Did you know that in the United States, most pastors spend between 2 and 4 hours a week preparing for their messages on Sunday? That's terrible. Why? Don't get angry at the pastor. It's because the pastor's been required or the pressure's been put on him to do everything and he can't. He cannot do it. His primary role is to equip the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. Yes, he'll do other things too, of course. I can't give you the list of job description, every single thing, but I want you to know that that's the primary function. I'll prove to you real quick. Let's just go and have a look. How many of you know the story where Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, comes to him and says to him, Moses, you know, I just want to let you know that things are really out of whack. You got things wrong. You've messed up. You've messed up, Moses. You're trying to do too much. You're trying to take too much on yourself. You need to appoint leaders of thousands and leaders of hundreds and leaders of tens. And basically, he gets to the point where he says, Moses, listen, you know, the maximum you can do is 10 people. I want to tell you that Jesus was amazing. He did 12. He oversaw 12 and raised up 12. But you guys, we as the church, Not here, because it's not like that. Yeah, amen. But most of the time, the expectation on the pastor is he must be available for everyone all the time. It's impossible. And Jethro gives and lays out to Moses what his responsibilities are. And I want to show you one of the things he says. Let's go to Exodus 18, verse number 20. Exodus 18, verse number 20. Are you guys okay? And you shall teach them the statutes of the law. So you'll teach them. That's what pastors do. That's what we do. And show them the way in which they must walk and the work that they must do. I want to show that to you again. Take a look at that. Remember what I've said to you now. We see clearly that those gifts in the book of Ephesians are there to equip the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. Moses' father-in-law says to Moses, this is what you need to do, and then you're going to be okay, and you'll raise up the children of Israel to take their purpose, to take their inheritance. You need to obviously teach them the ways of God, the statutes and the law, show them the way that they which they must walk. In other words, Moses, everything you've seen, the encounters you've had with God, talk to them, share with them, tell them how to get closer to God. And I think we do that here. Can you say amen? But one thing we haven't done enough, that I have not done enough, is because I've been so busy with all the stuff of church that I haven't done the last part enough. And that is that it says, and show them the way which they must walk, and then the work that they must do. The work that they must do. The burden is not for me alone. It is for you as well. You were called to be a minister. Every single one of us are called to be a minister. Every single one of us are called to do the work of the ministry. No question about that. You were called to be a disciple. I'll show you that a little bit later on. If that's true, there you see the primary role of what I'm supposed to do to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Now let's take a look. Because oftentimes we get a little confused and we kind of think, well, Pastor Alex, you know, a pastor's more important or this one's more important. That's not true. Let me show you what the highest call in the Bible is. What's the highest call in the Bible? All right. The highest call in the Bible is to be a servant. Is to be a servant. Okay. I'm kind of going the wrong way around, but that's okay. Mark 9, verse 33 says this. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, this is Jesus now, these disciples, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Jesus said that the most important thing is that you must be a servant, that we all need to be servants. Take a look at this. Matthew 20, verse 26 says this. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. There it is. Jesus came, the highest of high, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He came to earth and he served. So the highest call is to be a servant. The highest call is to be someone who's saying, I'm willing to do whatever you say, Lord. I'll start wherever you want me to start. I'll do whatever it takes. Is that okay, guys? Even throughout Scripture, we see with the disciples who wrote Scripture, in Philippians 1:1, Paul makes the statement. He says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants, slaves, I'm giving my life of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus who were in Philippi. Second Peter, now Peter speaking, Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle. He doesn't say an apostle and a servant. He first says a servant, then an apostle. Because you must understand, in order for you to do whatever God's called you to do, you have to be a servant. We have to be servants. That's where it starts. Is that okay? James 1, verse 1. James says the same thing. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. So he starts out by saying, listen, I want to let you know, I've written this book to teach you everything, but I want you to know before anything or who I am or what I am, I'm a servant. That's how it starts. I'm a servant. Is that okay, guys? The highest call is to be a servant. The highest call is to get involved. You are here right now, and God has called you to get involved. God has called you, and we are going to do everything we can and are busy equipping you to do the work of the ministry. That's our calling. That's our high calling, to do the work of the ministry. Get involved in ushering. Get involved in everything that goes on here, serving. Get involved in greeting. Get involved in children's ministry. Get involved in the cell groups, the U groups. Get involved. What do you need to do to get involved? What is the requirement for getting involved? I'll show you real quick, and then we'll come back to that. Because there's something else I want to show you there. But before we do that, I think I need to show you this. The first thing that God is looking for is someone who is faithful and someone who is available. He's not looking for able. He's looking for faithful and available. Let me show you. 2 Timothy 2:2 says this, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The first thing God's looking for is not how gifted you are. He's looking for someone who's faithful, who's available. Are you available? Thank you. Amen. He's not looking for perfection. He will make you able. Once you've made yourself faithful and available, He will make you able. The problem is so many Christians today go through this real struggle. They get hurt or something. Then they go from church to church to church to church, and they are never able to be part of the body. Well, I'm not going to build any pastor's kingdom. You are missing it big time, brother. You may actually have amazing gifts that God wants to use, but I want to let you know, when you're not part of the body, your gifting and your ability is one little part that's all by himself, that will never really achieve what God has called you to do. Don't look at what's wrong in the church, because by the way, you will never find the perfect church. You will never find it. There's no such thing. But you've got to make a decision to say, all right, I'm here. I'm not perfect. The church is not perfect, but I'm available. I'm available. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to serve. I'm going to start right here with what I can. I'm going to get involved in a cell group. I'm going to get plugged in. I'm going to get raised up, just like these other leaders that were standing here this morning. I'm going to get involved. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, you know, I'm too old right now. No, you still have breath, brother. You're still breathing. You are not too old. Sure, you can't do what these young guys can do, but in your capacity, you can serve right where you are. Is that okay? All right. You don't have to be. The question is, are you faithful and are you available? Servants. We need to be servants. That's the highest call. Now, I want to show you this. Matthew 25, verse 23. Matthew 25, verse 23. This is when Jesus is sharing about the talents. He gives talents to men. They go out, they come back, and they share with him what they did with their talents, right? This is what happens to one of them. He comes back, he says, verse 23, it says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I want to show you something really interesting that jumped out at me. It doesn't say, well done, good and faithful prophet of the Lord. You did prophesieth so well and used your gifts to maximum capacity. You were anointed and obedient, because most likely we will all mess up and he won't be able to say that anyway. But what will he say? Well done, good and faithful servant. When we stand before God, I don't know about you, but I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You made yourself available. That day in Oceans United Christian Center, when your pastor spoke to you about making yourself available, you decided that day to take up the call. Watch this now. When you get to heaven, God's not going to say, well done, good and faithful doctor. Well done, good and faithful teacher. Well done, good and faithful plumber. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because while you were being a plumber, you used what God had placed on the inside of you. You're equipped, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you go on the job, God will give you opportunity. And you will use your gift right where you are. It doesn't matter what you're busy doing right now, what you're involved with right now. Right now, where you are a servant. I was telling the first group, you know, I remember being a child, which was a long time ago. I remember being in children's church, Sunday school. How those teachers, I'll never forget them. They impacted my life so much. Don't underestimate what you can do right where you are right now. You're a servant. You're faithful. You're available. Be who God has called you to be. Don't expect me to do everything. Here at Oceans, as we continue to grow, we will raise up more leaders to share the burden. There will be more pastors being appointed here. There'll be more leaders appointed here as we continue to grow so that we can effectively teach every one of us, every one of you, to step into the role and the function that you have. But listen, we want to do all of this. The church has grown from 12 to nearly 700 in 4.5 years. God has been so good to us. It's wonderful. It's great. But guess what? The last few months, God has been so heavy on me. So heavy on me. And I've been saying to God, you know, Lord, the most important thing to me is your presence. The most important thing is the anointing, all this stuff and leadership structures and all this. I don't want to know. I just want to just get to the presence of God. Well, guess what he said to me? Where are you? Where are you? And I said, well, Lord, you know, I've got a meeting. A meeting that's more important than meeting with me. I called you to equip. I didn't call you to be counseling at 7 o'clock at night. I didn't call you to answer the phone at 9 o'clock in the evening. I didn't call you to do all of that. I called you to equip the saints. I've done, I'll do it more. I love people. That's why I do it. But God has said to me, listen, son, when you started this ministry, we had made promises to each other. Let me show you how it works. Because you've all been there. Oh God, thank you for your presence. The presence of God comes in the room you worship. And oh Lord, I'll give you everything. I'll give you my life. I'll give you everything. And God goes, okay, good. That's what I did. And God gave me a mandate. And we've done it and we've gone for it. And I've enjoyed every single minute of it. But God said to me the other day, listen, son, you're doing too much. What have I called you to do? Now raise them up. Raise up those leaders around you. Raise up those men and women around you so that they can take the burden. Like I did with Moses, like I did with the apostles in the book of Acts. I think it's Acts 12. Go read it. Where they appointed more people. You are not here to keep a seat warm or come and be entertained. You are here to fulfill the mandate that the Lord has given you. If you want a church to be entertained, you're in the wrong place. I will challenge you every week to step into your destiny. I will challenge you every week to step into the call of God. And how does it start? Well, Pastor Alex, I'm not ready. Be available. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for people that say, I'm available. I'm available. Here I am. Get plugged in. Get started. Just right now that you can. Maria, wherever Maria is, she'll be available. Go talk to her. I know what's coming for this church. And I'm not worried anymore about what people think, about what people say, because I want to do what God says. Is that okay? I love people with all of my heart, but I'm not worried about what they think about what I'm supposed to do. Because God has told me clearly, it showed me through Scripture exactly where I am in the ministry and where we're going as a church and what I'm supposed to do and what you're supposed to do. I want to say this. This is so important. I'm so thankful to the Lord for the people that he's brought here. Amazing people with gifts and talents, that will be raised up and used to fulfill their destiny. But I want to challenge you this morning. Undercover Christianity comes to an end this morning. You don't need to be undercover anymore. What's secret agent Christianity? They come to church and they're secret agents. Well, you got hurt one day. Welcome to the club. I got hurt too. Which time? Well, you don't know how bad it was, Pastor Alex. Okay. What about Joseph? He got pretty hurt too. You know, God told him he would be like a ruler, and then the next thing he was in a pit and didn't look too good for him. Those days are over. As a church, as a people, we have to stand up and say, here I am, Lord. I'm available. Is that okay? All right, I'm almost done. It's amazing how totally different this is to the first service. All right. What I need to show you is, this is really important. Let's just quickly go back to Ephesians 4. Just a few more minutes and I'll close. But this is very important. Ephesians 4, verse number 16. Let's go there. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself. The first thing, that I need you to see is every part does its share. Every part, say that's me. I'm one of the parts. But what's important to take note is in order for us to have growth, it doesn't help for every part to do its share, not connected, because the growth comes from every joint that supplies. In other words, in order for you to fulfill your destiny, in order for the church, in order for the body of Christ to grow, the parts have to be joined together and fulfilling their role. Not one part can do everything. Every part has to be doing its part in order for the body to be healthy and to be able to grow. Now, what is our mission as a church? Matthew 28, verse 18. We all know this, but I need to show you one thing this morning. It's so important. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Okay, amen. So we see all the way to the end of the age, this is the command. This is what God has called us to do. He's called us to raise up disciples. What I need you to understand is when Jesus gave this mandate to the church, there were no disciples. Why do we try and go and get disciples already in the church? The disciples have to be unchurched. They have to be sinners, backsliders, lukewarm, prostitutes, addicted people, people who are broken and hurting. Those are the people we have to get and have to disciple. Come on, you can do a little better than that. Those are the people. The problem with the church is we're competing with each other for each other's people. That's not healthy. I don't want the people from the other church. Vero Beach has many people. Or you, right there where you are, you could name at least 10 that you know that need the Lord. Right there at your workplace, at your gym, at your social club, whatever it is that you're part of, you know people that need the Lord. God has called you to be a witness, to be a disciple. What is He looking for you? What must you do? Are you ready? Just say, "Here I am, Lord. I'm available. I'm available. I'm available to be used by you. And we will equip you. We will equip you, church, to do the work of the ministry." It's so awesome to be a part of the body. Every part doing its part. Coming into the unity of the faith. And let me tell you something. The church is heading into a season as the body of Christ, not oceans, the body of Christ, where we will see a greater measure of this. It's just what's busy happening. And then the Lord will come and collect his bride. That's what's going to happen. Get ready. Get excited to be a part of it. Young lady, yes, you. God hasn't missed you. I want you to know something. From the very beginning, the Lord pointed you out to me. And I want you to know that the hand of the Lord is upon you. His hand is on your life. And you will fulfill your destiny and you will fulfill your purpose. Everything God has said concerning you will come to pass. And this is what God is saying to you. Don't look at their faces. Don't worry about what was said or what they say. Focus on me. The hand of the Lord is upon you. His hand is upon you. Are those your family? No. They love you like family. They've got your back. I don't know why, but they do. Okay? The hand of the Lord is upon you. Okay? That's what you need to know. And your season is now. Now's your season. Now's your season. Step into it now. Restoration, healing, and deliverance will come. Remember what I said. Don't look at their faces. That means what comes out of their mouth, what they say, don't look at it. Don't listen to it. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Amen? Amen. All right. All right. See, that's the edifying part. We do a little bit of that. Now we focus on equipping the church. And then guess what? Every one of you can do that once you're equipped. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning. We're so thankful to you, Lord, that we're a part of your body. We've really got it messed up, Lord, because we've thought so many times that there's a high value on certain things. That's not true at all. It's just that everybody needs to fulfill their role, their function. Yes, you've called some to be apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists. That's true. But the ministry is supposed to be done by the saints. And the saints are called right where they are. Doctors and lawyers and teachers and plumbers and builders and so many. All of us, Father, we are right where we need to be. And the mission field is right in front of our eyes. Now I pray, Lord, as we move into this new season as a church, that you would equip us and you would give us everything we need, strategy, everything we need to get everything in place. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Let it not be so in Vero Beach, Father. Raise us up, Lord, to take the harvest for the kingdom of God. This church and whoever else desires to seek after you, let it be so in their church, Father, even in this town, in this city. Father, do whatever you want to do, but raise us up, Lord. Raise us up, Father, every person, ministers, witnesses, servants, ready to do the work of the ministry, saints of our God. We love you so much. We praise you and we worship you. Bless every person this morning as they leave this place in the name of.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.